Our next speaker is David Robinson, and I was told there was lots of interest in his talk, so that's why his talk was moved to this big auditorium. And he's going to talk to us about Broom, converting statistical models to tidy data frames. Okay, go ahead, David.
Thank you. So the Broom package is about 2 years old as of right now. I've been working on it for a while, and it came out of a solution problem I was trying to solve. And it came out really of this work I've been doing with the tidy data framework. So who's here? Could you raise your hand if you've heard of tidy data before? Most people, great. So yeah, tidy data describes data frames that are arranged with one row for each of your observations, one column for each of your variable, and separating tables, one table for each of your type of observational unit. So a lot's been written on this. Really came from Hadley Wickham's seminal 2014 paper, Tidy Data. And it's gotten a lot of tools, these tidy tools that work with tidy data frames and allow you to manipulate, summarize, import, export, visualize these tidy data. Some of the most famous tools are in the so-called Hadleyverse, tidier for taking tidy data frames and reshaping rows into columns, columns into rows, dplyr for manipulating, filtering, adding new variables, grouping by, and summarizing, ggplot2, which visualizes tidy data, turns them into graphical representations. But it's not just the Hadleyverse where this framework is important. In Matt Doyle's data.table, a lot of the same principles apply, a lot of them I'm really using the same way. And in the pandas package in Python, a lot of these same ideas of group by, summarize, filter do come in themselves. So the tidy data framework covers all of these, and they make for a really powerful framework for exploratory data analysis. We take our messy data, we clean it up by tidying it with, say, the tidier package. We take that tidy data, we manipulate it with the dplyr package. And then we can visualize that data with the ggplot2 package. All that works well until you start using statistical models. Once you start modeling, the tools are not as easy. They're not there for model manipulation or model visualization. You can't use the same tools you've been using throughout the rest of your pipeline. And the reason is that model objects are messy. So what do I mean by model objects are messy? Is it a criticism? Really, it's just a technical term, and we're going to explore one example of a model and why it is messy. So a linear regression. We do a linear regression. We take this MT cars data set and just regress two predictor variables to predict MPG. And the summary output we get, I'm sure all of you are pretty familiar with outputs like this for a linear model. So what is messy about this? Well, let's take a look at the coefficients right there in the middle. Three coefficients and four pieces of information about them. First, notice extracting these takes three steps. Extract them into a data frame. You have to perform summary, get the coefficients out of the summary, and convert it from matrix to a data frame. Even once you've done that, you have information kept in your row names. And that makes things really challenging because it means you can't combine multiple models. R doesn't like it when you have duplicate row names in a data frame. Past that, you've got column names that are really inconveniently named. They contain punctuation, they contain spaces, they contain mixes of capitalization, some will do capitalization, some won't, and it makes them harder to access, harder to plot. And there's also information that is only computed in print methods of objects. Here in the linear regression, I don't know if you know this, but this p-value is not stored anywhere in a linear regression. It's only computed when you print it out. So, individually, we're R programmers, and we can solve each of these problems. But add them all together, and it takes you out of the flow of a data analysis. It means every single time you perform a model, you've got a series of steps you've got to go through before you're back able to use these tidy tools. And the important thing I realized is that these inconveniences aren't the exception. They're the rule. Every model that you get out of an R analysis, whether it's built in or in a third-party package, is going to have inconveniences like this between the model object and the kinds of data frames you can use with tidy tools. So Broom has these methods that do the work for you. This is an example of Broom's tidy method performed on the linear regression. So here, once we do tidy, it's just one function call, not multiple. It always stores information in columns, not in row names, which helps you when you want to recombine models and to compare and contrast them. It's also got convenient column names, always never spaces or punctuation, that makes it convenient for them to be extracted afterwards. So that's what the broom package does. It takes a model object and turns it into a tidy data frame that can then be used with tidy tools. So that's where you can see, once we can do that, we can take the output of the models. Now we've retidied them, we manipulate them using dplyr, and we visualize the models using ggplot2. So broom has three methods for tidying models. I already showed the tidy method, but there's three ways we can get information out of an object because there's three kinds of statistics you can want to extract from model. We use a tidy method to extract components. Those are your statistical conclusions, your pieces of the model. You use augment to get our observation level statistics. That's going to be examples like residuals and fitted values, and glance for model level statistics, things where there's only one value for an entire model. So if we look back at our linear regression example, we've got our residuals. That's the observation level, fitted values and residuals. We've got the component level we already talked about, and we've got these methods like an R-squared, adjusted R-squared, F-statistic, deviance. These come out of glance for getting the model level statistics. So we got in tidy, every single row in your output is going to be, we've already seen this, is one coefficient in your statistical model. In augment, every row, this is augment performed on the linear model, it's going to show us our original data, but add new columns. Notice that there is going to add a little dot at the start of each column to make sure so it's new and that it's it doesn't conflict with the originals. And glance always gets you a one-row data frame that summarizes a model. So I've shown a lot about linear regressions, but in fact, broom works across many kinds of model objects. And I found the same kind of grammar and expectations of a tidy, augmenting, glance level apply to each of these. Take a look at nonlinear least squares. It's fairly similar. We end up with coefficient level information. We end up with residuals. When you perform tidy, you get the each row being one of your estimated parameters from your nonlinear least squares, your NLS. In augment, each row is one observation from the original data with your predicted and residual values added. And glance gets you a one-row data frame with information such as AIC, BIC, deviance, and so on. It doesn't just apply to regression and prediction methods. You've got k-means clustering. So this is an example of k-means clustering performed with the k-means function on the iris data set. So this, you can see, we don't have a lot of similarity here to the NLS and LM levels. You can see maybe it's structured a completely different way. But broom takes these and takes it into tidy, which gets one row for each cluster in your original data, as in your new model. Augment, which gets one row for each assignment of one of your data points to a cluster. And glance, one single row describing the total sum of squares, total within sum of squares, the entire clustering operation. And there's lots of other models that have built in the year and a half since. I've done various contributions. People have opened pull requests when they found models and wanted to have ways to turn them into data frames. And that means if you're working with any of the kinds of models on this list, you can be able to take broom and immediately take the output of your model, put it into your tidy tools, graph it with ggplot2, manipulate it with dplyr, and so on. You can find a complete table up to date with the latest changes on the Broom GitHub repo. So why is this so useful? I've talked about how we've been taking these models and turning them into a tidy form. Why is that useful? One of the big reasons is that ggplot2 can only visualize tidy data. It wants to take a data frame with one row for each observation, one column for each variable, and translate it into a visualization. So take an example of that linear regression we created earlier. This example where we put it through a tidy step, And then we immediately could take that tidy data frame and use ggplot2 on it using a geom point and an error bar h. And now we're able to get a coefficient plot with uncertainty. The last talk, awesome talk, was about include some things from the survival package, like proportional hazards models. And here we have tidy methods for every model in the survival package. Here's one example. We have a serve fit from the survival package, and we can show a what's the name for this? Same for the curve of how likely you are to die. Thank you. Yeah, sorry. It is Kaplan-Meier curve showing confidence intervals along the way, based on the tidied result of a survival model. So by taking these and doing them in ggplot2, one more example is we have a lasso regression, a sparse regression, and showing how while we change the lambda parameter, we'll get out different estimates. This was able to be done because we took the fit, we tidied it, and that gave us a data frame with one row for every value of lambda that we could then graph. And also glanced it. And glanced gave us the model level statistics of the point where the cross-validation error was lowest and the place where it was within one standard deviation of being lowest. So in each of these cases, we can now plot using ggplot2. And that's great because it allows to customize or recombine or facet or do anything we would want to do with the ggplot2 visualization of our data. We can now do it with our ggplot2 visualization of our model. But I think maybe the most powerful thing Broom can do, and it's only really being fully explored now, is combining and comparing multiple models. When you have models as data frames, it means you can stack them. Kind of think of like our containers on a container ship. Now they're all the same shape, and they'll all have the same variables, and you can stack set of rows for each model. Each of these models represent different choices of parameters. It could be different methods that you're comparing to each other. They might be multiple replicates of your experiment or replicates of a bootstrapping method. They might be subgroups. You might be doing analysis within each country, within each gene. They could be ensemble voting. The idea is anytime you want to take many models and analyze trends across them, the ability to stack them into a tidy data frame is very powerful. You can take this output and add parameters on top of it that are going to allow you to do some analysis with it. Maybe a nested combination of multiple parameters. And now you can start doing comparisons along these. So I'll show you two examples. I mentioned that you can plot a nonlinear least squares fit this is a nonlinear least square fit. We did augment on it to get the observation level data. We used ggplot2 to get it. But now that we can do one of these graphs, if we combine many models, we can show 50 bootstrap replicates. This was just if I took 50 of these NLS models, turned them into one stack data frame, and then plotting it was just as simple as saying I want to add a group variable for which replicate we are and do it on the entire combined data. And now we get a sense of the natural variance through bootstrapping. Similarly, if you plot one instance of k-means clustering, we have a whole vignette of a plot about showing k-means clustering. And here I showed you could take the output, you get the assignments, that's every one of these points. Then you get the centers, that's going to be your second geom point layer, that's your tidied component level data, those are the x's. So now that you can plot, and you get to plot in just three lines of ggplot2, but now that you can do that, you can plot it for multiple values of k. So this is a way of showing, as you increase the number of clusters in your k-means clustering, how your fit changes. So we just see you have, when you have one, it's too few. You can see everything gets stuck in the same cluster. Two gets mixed a couple clusters together. Three is just right, and you can see it start to tear it up. And we did that just by stacking these tidied k-means models so we can plot them all at once. There's a lot going on in that possibility. And Hadley Wickham started to explore it, as has Garrett Grawlman, in the new book, R for Data Science, and a couple of talks called Managing Multiple Models that are really worth looking at, where they could combine with dplyr, tidier, and purr. to find ways to take many models and tidy them using Broom and then compare across them. So if you're interested in that, that's a really interesting area that's still being explored and built on. You can also learn more by going to the Broom vignettes. There are four of them. I mentioned there's one with showing a version of tidy bootstrapping, including bootstrapping of survival curves. There's one on there's a really in-depth exploration of k-means in a vignette. There's we also have there's a manuscript that's currently in the archive with the same title as this talk that explores some of these things and some of the theory behind them in more depth. And please contribute. We've got we're up on GitHub, and really the way this gets pulled forward is by people working with models that they understand, wanting to know and knowing how it might be helped by turning to tidy, and either opening an issue or submitting a pull request with their tidy methods. So one thing I really hope is that some people here who have worked with models I'm not familiar with or didn't realize would be useful if they could submit their own contributions, that'd just be fantastic and a great way that we can keep moving this tidy ecosystem of modeling forward. So thank you very much for let me talk. I got to thank the people who contributed to the Broom package and the Broom paper. You can find the full list of contributors up on GitHub as well. We'd be happy to take questions.
Hi, yes, quick question. Do you have a preference for, if somebody's working on a statistical modeling package or machine learning package, do you have a preference for them submitting a pull request to Broom versus providing that tidying functionality within their own package?
That's an awesome question. I've started leaning towards suggesting re-exporting the tidy augment and glance methods from Broom and implement it themselves. That way they have complete control over it. And I'd be happy to like give some, if someone were doing that, I'd be happy to give some advice. I'd certainly appreciate if it followed some of the conventions the Broom package did. But I really need to write a guide for re-exporting these methods. But then it's really great because it'll allow people to have control over how they understand the model best and how it'll get tidied.
For comparing multiple models, I mean, I'm curious, are you going to limit it to just kind of what you can extract directly out of the model, or will you do things like ROC curves and things that require, you know, further computation on the model objects?
That's a great question. So there are some kinds of models, there's some kinds of questions you could ask about data that the tidied, with a tidy augment and glance methods will throw out that data, so therefore you can't do it. But ROC, actually, we have a tidying for, I think it's from the PROC package that actually takes one of once you perform it once you get an ROC curve, that model, like, we can tidy it and use it to compare multiple ROC curves. I don't remember exactly which model it was. I implemented a while ago. But that is an example of one thing you can tidy, yeah.
Any more?
I guess there are hundreds or maybe even thousands of different models across the R ecosystem. How many do you support at the moment?
I think it's about 80 or 90 right now. So it is definitely a small fraction of the space. I've been aiming for things that people have asked for, things that people will want to bring into the tidy data ecosystem. I don't dream of every single model in R will be covered, nor does it necessarily make sense. But I certainly am not pessimistic that a small fraction of models are covered, just because it can do, getting it even this for these models can do so much to make people's workflows easier.
Okay, well, thank you. I think our time is up. Thank you again, Dave.